The cattle camps in southern Sudan offer a glimpse into the way the country's largest tribe, the Dinka, preserved their traditions through 21 years of civil war with the mostly Arab northern Sudan. Now, with the war ended, Dinka traditions like cattle camps, the engine of Dinka culture and identity, are under a new threat, peace. Machiwi Mario Makiri listens to his older cousin sing praise songs to his family's bulls. At 12 years old, Machiwi is too young to sing to his favorite bulls. He hasn't yet earned the right. So, during each dark early morning on this stretch of grassland in southern Sudan, he hums the songs to himself as he grooms his father's cattle, a herd more than 100 strong. It is usually boys like Machiwi who lead their family's herds in the dry season from the relative safety of towns and villages to the grassy marshes between the two major forks of the White Nile. For 21 years, the tradition of cattle camp was threatened by the civil war between Sudan's government in the mostly Islamic north and rebel militias in the largely Christian and animist south. During the war, many Dinka and their close cousins, the Nuer, lost their herds in countless raids by government-backed Arab militias. Now, peace is the threat amid a push to develop and modernize southern Sudan, a region largely ignored by the Khartoum government. The promise of high-paying jobs is luring thousands of people from cattle camps and village farms to larger towns such as Rumbek, where businesses are starting to flourish, kindled by the certainty that southern Sudan, under the peace deal, stands to pocket about half the country's oil wealth, about $1.5 billion a year. Expectations are high. People want what the Khartoum government and the British colonials before them have kept from them: paved roads, phone lines, electricity, running water, schools, libraries, and access to health care. They want cars and brick houses, refrigerators, and televisions. Many here are wary that southern Sudan's great leap forward could lead to social upheaval, as centuries-old customs are challenged by modernization. One of the most important aspects of the modernization effort is mandatory schooling for children. The United Nations estimates that less than a third of the population is literate. Machiwi has mixed feelings about whether to stay in cattle camp or attend school. In an earlier conversation, Machiwi wanted to stay at the cattle camp. He loves the cattle, plus all his friends are at the camp. But in this interview, with his father watching, Machiwi seems a bit more sheepish. His days are full of hard work, but it is the only life he's ever known. Cattle camp is where boys and girls are initiated into life with cattle, southern Sudan's highest form of wealth. It is where boys and girls first fall in love, forming bonds often measured out in cattle, with bridal dowries bringing at least a dozen bulls and scores of cows. Even still, school is more important than cattle, says Machui's father, Mariel Makiwi. Mr. Mariel says he wants to send Machiwi to school because he'll have an advantage over the children who stay in the cattle camp, where there is no formal schooling.
They say, we suspect if the boys learn more enough in cattle and go to school, will become a better intelligent than other children who are not learning on cattle camp.
But then again, Mr. Mariel says he plans to keep his oldest son, Malawal, who is 17, at the camp. For him, it's too late for schooling, he says. Many parents at the cattle camp say they will send only their youngest children to school, leaving older siblings to tend cattle. That's going to be a problem, says Ambrose Rini Teek, southern Sudan's chief justice, who says the cattle camp tradition would probably not survive the next two generations. He says education is vital to turning southern Sudan from a militarized society into a civilian one. Sudanese authorities plan to provide free primary education, and they are prepared to pressure parents to send their children to school, by levying steep fines if they don't. But some parents say they'll pay the fines because they depend on their children's labor. Cattle Camp will survive the pressures by Western aid groups to modernize southern Sudan, says Magwak Nyimpu, who at 38 years old is the manager for the cattle camp.
You say nothing can destroy cattle camp about the schooling of children. It is better because now people have peace in southern Sudan and everyone like to take his child into his school to learn, to know a good future life better than this time. It is not going to lose the situation of Dinka with the cattle life.
Before the last stars of the morning dim, the wiry Machui has finished applying a coat of gray paste of cattle urine and dung ash to his cattle's horns as a protection against scratches. Machui's older brother, Malawal, gathers the cattle for the day's long walk to the fresh grass. The two boys' diverging paths are literally etched on their faces. Malawal has parallel lines cut into his forehead that identify him as Dinka. Machui's forehead is unscarred, and according to his father, it will stay that way. Raymond Thibodeau for VOA News, Akwang Cattle Camp, Sudan.